One of the most common things we Catholics do when we pray is to begin in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. This formula is very ancient in the Catholic Church. It probably began as a way to express in a very brief form a profession of faith in the God who is Father, who is Son, who is Holy Spirit. It was also a way to teach people to remember this very basic, this very fundamental doctrine of our faith. We have other formulas that we also use, other ways that in our prayer we express our faith in the fact that ours is a God who is Father, Son, and Spirit. If you will notice, very often the opening prayer of the Mass is addressed to the Father, and then it ends with something like, "We ask this through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever." Not only there are we expressing faith in the Trinity, but we're expressing something more. That all prayer eventually goes to the Father. And that Jesus is always the mediator, the go-between, between us and the Father. And the Spirit is our source of unity. If you would look through the Mass prayers that you can find in your Missalette, you will find that most of those prayers are addressed to the Father through the Son in the unity of the Holy Spirit. Now, there is a problem with formulas like these. And the problem is that after we've heard them for a while, it's pretty easy to say them without much thought. And so sometimes their meaning and their purpose gets lost to us. Now, that doesn't mean that we shouldn't do it. It means that from time to time, we need to stop and think about what it is we are saying. Because if we look at how we pray, we're going to come to a far better understanding of what it is that we believe. Sometimes I have asked people, how were we saved? And it's occasionally happens that somebody will say to me, "I don't know." And I will say, "Well, who died for us?" And more than a few times I receive the answer, "Well, God died for us." And I'm thinking, well, yes, but no. If God died for us, we wouldn't be here. It is God that holds the universe in existence. And if God was dead for one moment, we would be gone. What we believe is that Jesus, the Son of God, died in his humanity, that the Son of God became one of us, took on our human condition, died on the cross, rose from the dead, ascended to the Father, and is now gathering all of us to himself so that he can present us to his Father as his great gift at the end of time. It is very important that we keep this understanding, that we distinguish between the Father, between the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Yes, they are one God, but they have three very distinctive roles and purposes, and we express that in our faith and in the way we pray. And if somehow we kind of just merge all that together, then our faith falls apart. We have to keep that distinction that it is the Son who became one of us, who died in his humanity, and who now gathers us to the Father. Now, someone may argue, well, the word Trinity does not appear in the Bible, and they're right. You can't find that word anywhere in the Bible. But what you can find in the Bible is a very clear expression of the distinction between the Father and the Son and the Spirit. You don't find it too clearly all in one place. But if you look, it is there. Go, for example, to the first chapter of the Gospel of John. It's a reading that we have often on Christmas Day. And it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And then later in that passage it says, "And the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us." The Word here is another way of saying the Son. That the Son was with God and is God. And the Son of God became flesh. If you go to St. Paul in his letter to the Philippians, he talks about how at the name of Jesus, every knee must bend in the heavens, under the heavens, and on the earth. And every tongue proclaim to the glory of God the Father that Jesus Christ is Lord. For a Jew like Paul, to call someone Lord would have been blasphemy had he not believed in the very depths of his being that this Jesus truly is the Son of God. And you can go to the Gospel of John and some of the later chapters, around chapter 15, 16, 17. And there you see the working of the Spirit, and how the Spirit comes forth from the Father. And like we had in our reading today, how everything that the Spirit has belongs to the Father and to the Son. It brings about again that unity of those three persons of the Trinity. Now I'd like to go to the first letter of John. In that letter, John says, God is love. It's a very simple statement, but a very important one. You know, I can say to somebody or about someone, they are loving, or you are loving. But I don't know anyone that I can say, you are love. We can only say that about God. God is love in the very core, the very essence of his being. That is what God is love. Now, as the second reading today states, it is that love that is overflowing to give us life. And it is that love that caused our God to reach out to us when we were caught up in sin so that we could be saved and brought into the glory of his kingdom. Love is what brought us into being. Love is what sustains us in being. Love is what gives us the hope that you and I will live forever. The more deeply you and I can become aware of that love, the more we will be empowered to love God in return. And the more that we know we are loved by this God of ours, the more willing we will be to love one another, to love those around us. Because love is the very essence, the very foundation of all life. It is the love that comes forth from the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. The love that gives us life and gives us the hope of life forever.